First, we want to talk about what happened on Friday night at University of Washington's Red Square, where protests turned violent. One protester was shot. He's in serious condition. The clash of protesters there on the campus was a response to a controversial speech by the editor for the white nationalist site Breitbart, the provocateur Milo Yiannopoulos. The group that invited him to speak is the UW College Republicans. His president is Jessie Gamble, and she told me what happened inside Kane Hall after the shooting.
There was a boy, I want to say he was about a row behind me, a few seats over, and the guy yelled out, "Someone's been shot." And everyone kind of stopped for a second just to understand what was happening. And we, you know, what happened? Someone was shot outside. And from that point on, I think everyone was unfortunately only half listening because of, you know, everyone was thinking, where do we go from here? How are we going to get out? What's the true situation outside? So I guess that took away from his show just a little bit.
You knew, Jesse, that there would be protests when you brought a very controversial person here. So what did you... What did you come away with when the protests turned violent?
I mean, even before the shooting, we knew that they were violent. We had the police out there who did a tremendous job helping to make sure people got into our event. To my understanding, the students were peaceful. And then as the community started coming in and the Antifa started coming, that's when everything started flipping.
And the Antifa are?
The Seattle's anti-fascist movement.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the students, from my understanding, what I saw, the students that I knew who were students there, it seemed very peaceful. And then when the community started coming in and they didn't understand our collegiate atmosphere and just started taking it over, that's when everything really flipped.
Any regrets putting this thing together? You knew there would be protests. You couldn't control them. Any regrets?
No. I mean, in the long run, we had a lot of students come to the event. A lot of students today have told me that for the first time in their collegiate career, even as seniors, that they're going to start speaking up in their class with their conservative principles. And that was really our main goal. And because we were able to inspire 50, and that number's counting, so many students to come out and say, I agree with you, I believe with you, I'm going to speak up, that was worth it.
I got about maybe halfway through the video of Milo's talk. I would say, from what I heard, it was brainless, whiny, radical lefties can't stand to hear ideas they don't like, so they invent victimizing language distortions like hate speech and microaggressions as a way to put their head in the sand and shut conservatives up. That was my summary. What was your summary?
Yeah, that was the first half was a bit of a tirade by Milo, kind of just saying what a lot of us, you know, kind of feel, a lot of us agree, maybe not to the full extent, but kind of it was just to get the crowd on his side. Then he kind of jumped in the latter half with the cyberbullying. And that was really...
What about cyberbullying?
I mean, it was focusing on, people will say a whole bunch of things about you, but those words mean nothing unless you make it mean something to you. And I mean, he said it, of course, in a much more brash way, but it was actually very valuable. It was very beneficial speech in that regard.
So in a way, maybe his line about the Seattle Women's March as thousands of hairy, overweight, lesbian femme squatches wandering around downtown Seattle, he's being a provocateur to say these are just words, people. Is that your idea of his shtick?
I guess that wasn't the main content of his speech, and then it was later that he started talking about more serious stuff with the whole the diatribes, the kind of the drama he was talking about. I mean, mostly it was just to get people laughing. It was just to kind of...
He's an entertainer.
Yeah, exactly. It was just to entertain. And again, it's that same type of thing. These words are going to be what you make out of it. And, you know, clearly, you know, a lot of brave and bold women still decided to march the next day around the world. It was you know, even though I may not sympathize with them on everything, it was a very impressive thing to see. Especially, I heard about the Seattle Women's March, that by the time the first woman in line got to the end of the line, the last of the line hadn't even started their 3.6 mile march. That was really impressive to hear. So, I mean,
but in Milo's formulation, those are the brainless, oh, poor me, someone I don't like as president. Like he makes it sound like that's kind of the worst of America. What is he encouraging? Let me ask you this way. What are you encouraging? Milo, he's come and gone. He doesn't live in Seattle, right? You have attention now. I'm interviewing you because this guy came. So what do you want to say? What do you want to advance?
I mean, exactly what I was talking about earlier with the conservatives on a college campus. I want them to speak up, even if you don't agree with everything that Milo says, even if you don't agree with everything I say, and the whole club, or our whole college Republican club, we all have a different spectrum of conservative ideas. I want you to get involved. I want you to contribute to the dialogue. That was my whole point of bringing Milo here, was you have someone that is really going to break the conversation about free speech wide open, and someone that's going to be very bold and very brash, so that you are inspired to, you know, if he can do that, maybe I can say, I believe this in class. I mean, the bare minimum, bare bones of what you believe, and to do so, even if it may cause scrutiny, even if it may mean you may not make a lot of friends in that class. But from my experience, when I speak up, there's usually another conservative in class that was too worried to say anything.
And what about for you, Jesse? Last time we talked, you were being criticized. You were being called a racist. What's your life like today?
Oh, boy. I mean, it's still it still has a lot of bit of tension in my life. After a week talked, a few people, I had got the vague death threats. I got a rape threat. And so because of that, I had a personal police guard throughout the whole Milo event. She's a very nice woman. Her name was Ginger. And she was always like 5 feet or so from me at the whole events. And I've had a few people since then tell me, or at least one, an alumnus told me that I don't deserve to be at the University of Washington. I should transfer out, but I've already applied to graduate, so our degree's still going to say we're at the same place, so bummer. But again, kind of like what Milo's talk focused on, is those are just words. If I make them into something, then it's going to be a problem. Then I'm going to dwell on it. Then it's going to manifest into something that's really going to ruin me, but I'm not really taking that all too seriously. I'm focusing on being a student. That's the reason why I came to this school, and I'm so close to being done. I finish in March.
Jesse Gamble, president of the University of Washington College Republicans. Thanks for coming in and talking with us again.
Of course. Thank you so much for this opportunity.